Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And we've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or if you have just something on a personal nature that you'd like to discuss, well, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. And this is, of course, day six of our focus on the book of Revelation. And here to keep it going, Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're jumping into chapter five today. And, you know, on the first day of the month, we talked about Revelation. We gave an overview. And really the point we made on that day is Revelation is about Jesus Christ. He is God's good news to man. And this Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the story of Jesus Christ. Revelation just simply is the culmination. Well, chapter 5 really underscores that point, probably better than any chapter in this entire book, because it really is Christ-centered. It is so focused on Jesus. Every single word of chapter 5 is about Jesus Christ. Yesterday we said, the scene changes as we go into chapter 4. We're kind of ushered into a heavenly scene. John sees this door that is open, and he sees someone sitting on a throne, and he tries to describe the throne, and, you know, he stretches his imagination as far as it can go to come up with words and descriptors to paint this picture. But in that, we see that everyone is worshiping this one who sits on the throne, all of creation. And in chapter 5, the scene is still there in heaven. We still see the one sitting on the throne, but we recognize that there's something in his hand, and it's a scroll, and that scroll is written on the inside and the out, and it's sealed with seven seals. And the question on the table is, who will open this scroll? And John is thinking that there's nobody worthy, and he starts to cry and weep, and one of the 24 elders comes over and says, "Stop weeping. Grow up. Come on. There's somebody." And at this point, the Lamb emerges. We see Jesus. And the elder describes him, the Lamb of the tribe of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, the victor, the one worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. That's Jesus. That's what this revelation is all about. And for the rest of this chapter, we see that all eyes are really directed toward Jesus Christ, and all eyes and all folks and all people bow down and worship him. He is the one worthy to receive blessing and honor and glory, and all of those belong to him. And at the end of this chapter, and the four living beings, and these four living beings just simply represent all of God's creation. We try to, you know, make something, you know, crazy out of these four living beings, but in reality, they just represent God's creation. And it shows that all of creation sings praises to the one who created them, and glory to the Lamb. And so as they see this praise being offered, these four living beings say, "Amen," and the 24 elders fall down and worship the Lamb. That's the position that all of us should be in worship to the Lamb. And yet in this world today, there are people who live in rebellion toward Jesus Christ. They're adamant against him. They hold their fist high and into his face and say, "I want nothing of you." But there will be a day, whether they ever repent or come to know him personally, there will be a day they recognize him for who he is, and they too will join in and say, "He is Lord indeed." But this chapter It's about Jesus, and it just shows him in such a magnificent and majestic way that you can't help but want to fall down and praise him and worship him.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel, friends. This is Basic Gospel you're listening to, and we have plenty of open lines. If you have a question on the Revelation, something else that's particularly troublesome to you in life, for a particular Bible question, whatever the situation might be, if you'd like to discuss it, we'd like to discuss it with you. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open. Time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Yorktown, New York, and talk to Dominique, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Dominique.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, my question is, I read in Revelation about 144,000 people who will be going to heaven. And then I read it and it said 12,000 each from the tribes of Israel. Then I heard a certain religious group say that it was them who's the 144,000 that's going to heaven. And I got confused. So who really is the 144,000?
Well, I think, or I'm sure you're referring to the Jehovah's Witnesses as the one saying that they're the 144,000.
Yes, I am. I felt I kind of didn't want to mention their name, but yeah, because I've heard them say it, and I didn't know what to believe.
Of course, they've had to change their thinking on that once the membership surpassed 144,000. In the book of Revelation, we're introduced to numbers. We see the number 7 mentioned quite often. It's a number of completeness or fulfillment. We see other numbers in the book of Revelation, 12 and 24, and all of those are symbolic. They help tell the story that John is trying to communicate. 144,000 is one of those numbers. I don't think it's a number that we should take literally. I think it's representative of all of God's people. So we see in chapter 7, for example, and I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. And it says 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. And then it lists those tribes. And then in verse 9 of 7, it says, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. So I think 144,000 just is symbolic of the complete number of God's people that were marked out with his seal as belonging to him. Richard, do you have some insight into that?
I would just piggyback on that. The important thing here in chapter 7 is to look what is said about Jesus and about salvation. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen, praise and glory and wisdom. And it just goes on and on like that. You know, just this is one of those little additions thrown in this case, between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. And I believe God gave this kind of information to John so that he and us would not be overwhelmed by what is revealed in the seals and the trumpets and the bowls. So we've got chapter 5 where Jesus is shown as the complete victor, and then we get these seals, and then we change from looking at Jesus to looking at saved people who are praising Jesus, and then we go on in the next chapter with more judgment. And so the idea here is that Jesus is in charge, Jesus is worthy, and these people are saved because they've believed in Jesus. Whatever else is going on is not touching them.
Does that make sense to you, Dominique?
Yes, it does. It's a number like 7, but the main thing to really know is that these people have been saved, and the rest of us will be saved if we believe in Jesus.
That's exactly right.
And we'll be marked with his seal.
That's exactly right.
And in fact, you can be marked with that seal today, because that's what Paul tells us in Ephesians, that the Holy Spirit is the seal of God guaranteeing our salvation. So if once you become a child of God, you are sealed forever.
Dominique, I trust you have received the seal of God, that you've been marked out because
yes,
of your
I
faith
have.
In Jesus Christ. That's incredible assurance to have, knowing that his blood has taken away your sins and his blood has made you alive together with him, and that one day you're going to be absent from your body and present with him and will be in his presence through eternity. Amazing truth, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, Dominique, thanks for your call today. Thanks for your question. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of Richard's booklet, Your Guaranteed Future. I think you'll really appreciate that. It gives an overview of the book of Revelation and gives some keys to understanding it, I think, properly. So hang on, Dominique. We'll send that to you.
And, friends, for a gift of any amount, we'll send a copy to you, Our Guaranteed Future by Richard Pfeiffer. For a generous gift of $50 or more, you'll also receive the booklet and the 8-CD series called Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard. Again, a gift of any amount, simply go to basicgospel.net, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Either way is a good way to support the ministry and get clear revelation on the revelation.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk to Mason, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mason.
How you doing, brother? This is Brother Nathan.
Nathan, okay. Well, nice to hear from you, Nathan.
How you doing? Yes, I just want to thank you for your ministry. I listen to you every day, and it's truly a blessing, and I wish there was more ministries out here like yours, and I just appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Nathan. We appreciate those encouraging words.
Okay, brother, I just have a question. I was reading John 16, I believe it's verse 8 through 11, where it talks about the Holy Spirit convicting, and I just had a question. Whether does the Holy Spirit convict a believer of his sins, or does the Holy Spirit convict us of righteousness?
Well, Nathan, I think this particular passage in John 16, Jesus is showing the work of the Holy Spirit as far as the world is concerned. Mm-hmm. The world's sin is unbelief in Jesus. Now, that sin is manifested in all sorts of sins, but the root of those sins is unbelief in Jesus Christ. So he convicts the world of that particular sin. And the reason for doing that is to point them to the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus and the judgment of sin that Christ Jesus did at the cross. So it's all a part of his work to bring unregenerate souls to faith in Jesus Christ. And the first step is the conviction of the sin of unbelief. And when a person turns from unbelief to belief, we call that repentance. That's our word for repentance. And that's part of the conversion process. So we go from unbelief to belief. We respond in faith to the good news. And it's through that faith we're saved by grace. So now for a believer, Nathan, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And we have the light of his life shining on everything that we do. And we recognize when we miss the mark of God's love. And that's really what sin is. It's missing the mark of God's love. If I said something to hurt you, Nathan, I think I would figure that out pretty quickly. And what the Holy Spirit does in my life at that point is to move me to go to you and say, I'm sorry. And let's work this out, and let's be reconciled as brothers in Christ.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense to me. But the Holy Spirit it's not like the Holy Spirit condemns you.
Well, there's no, if you're in Christ, Nathan, there's no condemnation.
Right.
Sin.
That's what I was thinking, yes.
Right. No condemnation, and Paul makes that very clear in Romans 8. That condemnation was on you as a lost person.
Right.
And that wrath was on you as a lost person. But when you're saved, you're set free from that.
Amen.
You were brought out from underneath that, and you were placed in Christ. And
yes.
His blood, his life, his righteousness protects you from the wrath to come.
Yes.
That's good news. That's
yes,
why
it, yes,
they call
is.
This good news.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you, brother.
Well, you're welcome, Nathan, and thanks for your call today. Wonderful question. Let me put you on hold, and we will send you a copy of this booklet as well, Our Guaranteed Future, a wonderful little booklet that Richard put together on how we can be prepared as believers in Christ for the second coming. So let me put you on hold. We'll send that to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
One of the perks of calling and being a part of the broadcast is you might get a free booklet.
That's exactly right. So call. We do have a couple of open lines at 1-800-677-9377. I think so many people, when they think about the book of Revelation, I think all kinds of fear starts to surface. They're afraid of what they might read, and especially like when they get to chapter 6 through 16 and we see all of these judgments and we see all of these vivid images of what's going to happen or what may have already happened. And you know, as I've said, sometimes it just scares the weebie-jeebies right out of you. And people don't want to read that. But we don't have to fear that because we have overcome. We have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to be saved from those judgments. It's the blood of Jesus that protects us, that removes us from that and puts us on a different course altogether. And we need that assurance in life. And that's what this booklet, I think, will do for people. It will give them assurance of their salvation, the fact that they truly have overcome the world through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's available to anyone for a gift to Basic Gospel this month, and for a generous gift of $50 or more, we will send not only the booklet, but Richard, your 8-CD series on the book of Revelation, It's No Mystery. And it's a powerful series, and it really focuses on Jesus Christ and the assurance that we have in him. So we need your help. This broadcast is listener supported, and we need folks to stand with us. If this ministry has touched your life, if you want to keep receiving that ministry into your life, stand with us. Support it. It will be a benefit to you, but it will also help others as well.
Absolutely. And you can do that at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Denver and talk to Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Like so many other callers, your guidance for what the scriptures say is tremendous. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Kenny.
I wanted to maybe even help somebody on that number in Revelation that you were talking about, the 144,000. I correlated it with how many times you're supposed to forgive people. It says 7 times 7, I believe, in the Bible. That just means however many it takes.
That's exactly right. Good
and so
good connection of the dots there, Kenny.
Well, thank you. And I just wanted to put, so to speak, my 2 cents worth in.
Well, I appreciate that. And we sure appreciate your kind words today. That means a lot to us. And thanks for tuning in.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
Well, hang on. Okay. We'll send you this booklet, okay?
That's fine. I've got plenty of your stuff to look through, go through yet.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, that's
great.
Thank you
so much, though.
Well, thank you, Kenny.
Well, that was worth more than 2 cents.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, let's go to Long Island and talk to Christina, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Christina.
Hi. Thank you for so much for your program. I listen every single day, and I learn so much from both of you and from your viewers also. My question is about salvation, and specifically, since I have many, many Jewish friends, since salvation depends on our belief in Jesus Christ, and Jews don't believe that he's the Son of God, does that mean that the nation of Israel, as it is today, and Jewish people as they are today, are not going to heaven?
Well, Paul addresses that question, really, in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He starts out that section with just, I think, one of the most amazing statements in Scripture. It says, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. That's just an amazing statement. But he realizes, you know, he was a Jew. He was, you know, of that ilk. And he opposed Christ. He persecuted Christians. And yet there was a time in his life where he encountered Jesus face to face. We know the story. And everything changed for Paul. And he realized that salvation was in Christ and in Christ alone. And he became the most charismatic voice on the planet, proclaiming that that good news wherever he went. And he goes on to say that, you know, regarding the Jews, there is a remnant that are being saved today. They are being saved by grace through faith, just as Gentiles are. And we can count on that. So in every generation since the time of Christ, there's been a remnant of Jews that have turned to him by faith. We meet them all the time. We had a gentleman that served on our board of directors, actually two, Jewish background, who both had come to Christ, recognized that they were dead spiritually and needed life, and that Jesus was the only one that could give life, and they responded to that by faith. So there's a remnant that are being saved by grace, and that is just a wonderful truth to know. And then in verse 26 of chapter 11, Paul makes this statement. He says, all of Israel will be saved. It is a very difficult statement to understand, to figure out exactly what he's saying. But I think this, that, you know, there was a time of rejection by the Jewish people at large of Jesus as their Messiah. And so the message went out to the Gentile world. Once the time of the Gentiles comes to an end, this gospel message will circle back to the Jewish people, and they will see their Messiah, the one whom they pierced, and they will respond to him. And so we can count on that to be the case. But those who are going to belong to God, are going to be a part of his people, are the ones who have responded to Jesus. That's the only way. We must be born again, and that new birth is through faith in Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. And so all of us, when we're joined together, we will be a part of this great scene in Revelation 5, bowing down, giving all worship, praise, glory, and honor to the Lamb who was slain, who set us free from our sins and gave us life in him. Well, Christina, thanks for your call today. We're out of time. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet.
And thanks to everybody who joined us for Basic Gospel. We close with a reminder that your support is what keeps Basic Gospel on the air. Without your help, we can't be here. For a gift of any amount, we'll say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But something else, too. For your donation of $50 or more, you'll receive not only the booklet, but our 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, as well. It's a great offer and a great way to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time get true clarity on the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount. That booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for your donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 or our website, basicgospel.net. We urge you also to join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper menu to join. You'll receive news and information about this ministry, plus the day-by-day preview of each day's look at the Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll be instantly added and ready for the next exciting study. Also, I want to remind you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.